Not Ramsay Snow. Does Lord Roos have another bastard? Rob Skell. This Ramsay was a monster and murderer, and he died a coward. Or so I was told. Welcome to the White Book Podcast, the original A Game of Thrones LCG podcast. Founded in 2010 as Two Champs and a Chump, we thought it was best to rename and rebrand ourselves as the game did so with the second edition. Now, we are the White Book Podcast, and each week we bring you your dose of strategy, insight, and all-around geeky goodness. A huge thank you goes out to Fantasy Flight Games and George R.R. Martin for this game and world we love, but more importantly to you, our listeners. Please consider supporting us on Patreon, so that we can continue to make this show the best it can, and I promise we have big plans for the future. This is The White Book. Ramsay, and that just has me all kinds of tongue-tied. Still didn't quite get it right, ours. But I'm going to roll with it anyway.
Roll with the punches, Mr. Lentz.
Yeah, something like that. Something like that. Well, welcome back, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Who's listening to Loud TV?
Oh, I am. Not a- Alan, may I turn the sound down a little bit?
God, I hope she says no. I just want to see Roy's response if she says no. No, go to hell and watch Roy be like, I don't know what to do now.
That'll be pretty great.
Well, that's not what she said, so you guys don't get to find out.
Fine, be that way.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry that we can't dance on your puppet strings for your amusement.
Wow, that was dark and unnecessary, Roy. I don't know why you went there.
You know me. I'm cutting edge like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have nothing nice to say to that, and this is new me, so I'm not going to reply.
Is this new year, new Aaron?
So a kid in class, I said that to some kid, and kid goes, it's almost the end of January. If you could stop saying that. And I was like, since that's the first time I said it, I'll say it as much as I want. Keep your mouth shut. And it was fantastic. She was like, I love when you do that. I was like, thank you. I like the game again, so I'm trying to be constructive.
Yeah, I'm glad you like the game again. It's in a good place.
It's in a better place.
There you go. Good compared to what it was when you disliked it.
Oh yeah. Way better.
And we're getting an influx of new cards that will make it even better.
Are you trying to transition to us? To like on topic?
Yeah.
I am.
Man, Roy's getting good at this. Why don't we just dive right into it then? You know, listeners have heard enough of us for hundreds of episodes just randomly blabbing. Let's just get into the real meat and potatoes, what they really love. Yet another chapter pack, right? I mean, that's what I hear all the time.
Alejandro, I know personally, loves these. And this episode, I think we should dedicate to him.
Who's Alejandro? I've never heard of him.
So
I think you're making that name up.
I am.
Got one.
Oh, name like Alejandro's. Puma? Ooh, I love Pumas.
Okay, so the new chapter pack is The King's Moot. And we're going to run through, we're going to rate this the way we have been doing PAX for this point, gosh, a year or more.
Second edition.
Yeah, pretty much. We're going to do both cards from a house together. We're going to kind of rate that house on an A through F scale. And, you know, A's are good, F's are bad. That pretty well cover it?
I don't believe in giving F's.
So, hey, Will.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should read the start cards because Aaron and I have already... I've already read the cards and Aaron's already talked about them.
No, I didn't. So. I wasn't on that one.
You weren't on that one? All right, cool. Well, I've already read them, so...
All right. So first up, we have Ramsey Snow. He is a unique but non-loyal start character. 5 cost, 3 strength, military and intrigue icons. Bastard in House Bolton. Forced reaction after Ramsey Snow enters play. Each player sacrifices a character if able. And then to back
wait,
him
wait,
up, we get...
Hey, stop.
Oh, go ahead.
I thought you were reading start cards. Why did you just read a Lannister card?
That's a great question. That's all I could think about while I was reading.
Or a Night's Watch card.
We'll get there momentarily.
Or a Martell card?
Ooh. Spice.
He's definitely a Martell card.
Yeah, Ariane loves him.
And then we also have, we'll come back to the Ramsey thoughts, because we also have another start card. That's the Dreadfort. It's also unique but non-loyal. It's a 2-cost location, House Bolton in the north, and reaction after a character you control is sacrificed. Kneel the Dreadfort to choose and stand a House Bolton or non-Stark character.
I don't think that one's good.
Maybe not, but it does sort of make me want to include it in that Lanny deck just for giggles.
But it's
like
when
flashing him in with Aaron Hall.
No, but
sacrificing him.
Yeah.
Something else.
But that's it. Like that's the only, I guess then there's the Claim Razor that you're also sacking.
All House Bolton characters currently either sacrifice themselves or cause you to sacrifice a character. So,
huh. Yeah. Okay.
There's only 3 in the game. Ramsey, the Maester, and
that's all the Boltons. That's so sad.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Lanny.
It's almost like
some...
I talked about these cards before.
Yeah. go figure.
Yeah. All right. I guess the Dreadfort's mildly okay. I'd still never play it right now, but it could be good later.
Yeah. I think it scales well. Like, I think Ramsey's just an immediately meta impacting card. Yeah, I mean, when we were joking, right, he's a Lannister card, he's a Martell card, he's a Night's Watch card. And I think he does, I mean, Aaron won't say anything because Johnny Wright will murder him. But I do think he causes Stark to look at builds that want to use Ramsey as well. So I just think he's a really good card. And I'm really excited to see at Thrones of War what happens with him and what happens at Winds of Winter with him and whether or not Stark players rethink the way Stark plays to make room for Ramsey.
He's a good card. I don't think he's a great card, but he's definitely a good one. I think he's super duper interesting more than he's good, and I feel like there's going to be a learning curve to people actually getting good use out of him. I don't like him in main Stark, especially because if you're paying 5 for him, that's not good value unless you have something extra to chuck. I mean, I guess go first. He's good. I like him. I just don't love Dreadfort.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, Dreadfort scales well, but when you only have 3 House Bolton characters and you can only run, what, 9 copies of those cards, yeah, then it's not going to be very consistent or useful. And most sacrifice tech is in Stark itself, but there's not a lot of it, and a lot of it's loyal. So, I don't know. It's a little bit of a mess of a card, but it scales well if Danny prints more sacrifice in other houses and prints more non-loyal sacrifice.
So, I just realized something. Is Ramsey the first card that sacrifices an opponent's character? No. Yeah, maybe.
No. Stark North Remembers.
North Remembers, I thought, discarded and sacrificed. No, it sacks both.
It sacks both. That's how it gets around, like, HRD
and
all that stuff.
Dupes and all that asshole stuff, right?
Yep.
This card is good. I just realized it's going to... Man, this card is really strong anti-Tyrell tech right now.
Oh, yeah. It's super good against Bitterbridge. Yeah. Super good.
Like, I bounce in Renly. I bounce in Ramsey. Eat balls.
you either sacrifice your Renly or you sacrifice that mace that has a bunch of power on it. Mm.
Yeah, which...
And it doesn't trigger Marjorie. Yeah, no, that's a really good anti-Tyrell card. And I hate Tyrell right now. Everyone else seems to hate Targ. I hate playing against Tyrell. Because at least Targ is doing shit while they're rolling your face. Tyrell's just like, look, I have big guys. We stand in here. Look, and I'm drawing cards. Want to watch me draw some cards and discard some cards? No, I don't.
See, everyone else is the opposite because, you know, Tyrell's so constructive with what they're doing. Targaryen's so destructive.
Yeah, but I feel like I have to watch Tyrell players do more shit. Targ is like, look, I played cards. They smashed you. I'm done. In Tyrell, it's like, ugh, are you done? Can you just win? You've obviously won.
Well,
have you played Targ Conclave yet? Like, I have to look at my seven cards, and then swap something with the top of my deck, and then I have to crack something, and then I have to ask it for, and then I have to drop it.
Dude,
inside.
I'm talking about people that are playing good decks.
Well, you didn't specify that to begin with.
Sorry. If you're playing Targ Conclave, I mean, hey, Thronesware people, bring Targ Conclave, please.
They're not gonna blink Targ.
I feel like there's just four better Targ decks.
There's like nine better Targ decks. No offense, Will.
Will likes.
Okay.
All right. So Raiden.
I do. I really do. But refocusing on Stark. That's the house we're in.
B minus.
Yeah, I was gonna go B.
Ooh. That's more generous than I'm.
Wait, really? You're gonna underrate a location? Huh.
Well,
it's underrate Ramsey.
It's
like,
one of those where it's at right now. I mean, you just said I like to play Jank stuff. That's why the Dreadfort, you know, in a Lanny deck vaguely appealed to me. But I don't think that's particularly good right now. I think the two of them together kind of brings like a C+ to Stark here. Ramsey is good, but meta defined or anything, so it's a middling to good C+ sort of thing for them, the pack as a whole.
All right, Aaron, you hate Tyrell. Do you want to do Tyrell or?
I mean, you get Night's Watch since you're a Night's Watch person, even though you didn't care that I'm now a Stark loyalist when you ungraciously had Will read them. I will read Tyrell. Sir Heil Hunt, 4/3. Military power, knight. He is not loyal. He's got action during a challenge which Sir Heil is participating. Pay one gold to choose a participating character. With lower strength than his, stand that character and move from the challenge. Limit once per challenge. If Tyrell wasn't so goddamn good, he's a one of in every Tyrell deck. Because he's real good.
They have a lot
and
of
then
characters.
Bounty at Highgarden, 2/ whatever event, loyal. Limited, or I'm going to say first limited event. You guys can tell me I'm wrong in a minute. And the bounty of Highgarden. Oh, I just started reading the flavor text. Sorry. Action. Gain 5 gold. Cannot be canceled. Yeah, you guys want to go first? You want me to just talk about this? Because, like, hey, remember when people played Tyrell Fealty and this would have been good? Because it's not anymore.
I still think it's a good rush card.
I guess. I don't think Tyrell really... I mean, I guess. I don't think Tyrell needs this to rush. If they don't need it to rush, they shouldn't run it.
I mean, it's an interesting card for sure. You know, it's a King's Road on a stick, but worse for setup.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, what is the benefit here over a King's
Road? King's Road nets you 2 gold. This nets you 3.
Okay, that's fair.
So, yeah, but setup is much more important than that, and plus the initiative boost. I mean, like, in Fealty, when this nets you 4 gold, I could see running it, I guess, if Tyrell didn't have... Mm. Like, Tyrell's running into the Targ problem where everything that gets released for them has to be measured against the sheer crazy bullshit they already have. And I just don't see how you
they've got
this.
So much income that, like, what other income variations do they really? Like, I feel like they've hit a saturation point.
Yeah.
With this type of stuff.
I mean, I agree, but I think there are just some decks that want the ability to gain this gold in the challenges phase.
I mean, why?
And For ambush,
having gold is having gold, right? Like 99% of the time.
Yeah, well, having three gold is better. Well, five, I guess, because you'll have five then. But netting three gold is better than having just two.
I mean, I guess
so.
It's gonna choke.
Sure, I mean, you're also trading on it, so you know, like this isn't bankable the way a King's Road is that you can sit and leave it on the board, safe from intrigue for a couple turns. And...
yeah,
I don't know.
But Tyrell has ways to reduce events, right? It's got Haxter, and doesn't have that terrible attachment.
Oh, silver hairnet. Yes, I suppose if you, and what is it? While the lady is participating in a challenge,
I think you're underrating this card. I mean, I think economy cards, particularly ones with no drawback,
this one
doesn't have like
it absolutely has a drawback. Its drawback is right there on it. Like, its drawback is I play Eliminated and Marshalling, and now I don't have this any, and now this is going to choke my hand.
Well, yeah, but that's the same as any other limited card. Like, it has no specific drawback. It's not like if there are more summer plots than winter plots revealed or any of that kind of stuff. It just, and it can't be canceled. So that's a nice thing about it. Like,
so shouldn't Lannister get this card, not Tyrell?
Yeah, I just kept thinking, didn't we have an article some time ago on FFG's page? In fact, I think it was maybe one of the preview articles for the Tyrell box where they were like, hey, Tyrell's going to get a shitload of gold, but don't worry, Lannister's going to stay the King of Income.
I mean, Lannister is 1,000% not the King of Income.
Well, maybe Danny's a show watcher and not a book reader, and he goes off the fact that the Lannisters are broke in the show rather than how it is in the book.
This being non-loyal would have been really good. Or, I don't know, I think that's the only way this could have been really good. But well, short of that...
maybe two...
I mean, really? Eh. Not if they get rid of Annals. Like, because that's the only reason it would be two.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is, you know, then it starts going.
Right. Well, you could remember you can only ever play one of these, even with Annals.
Okay, that's fair.
Not if you have the Tyrell lady from the last cycle. You can play two limited cards per turn.
Yeah. Hey, or you're using the taxation plot.
Yeah.
But your opponent flipped Annals. That's the key thing.
Yeah. It seems like a. I mean, good luck, guys. Can we talk about the card I like?
I think that Aaron is underrating this card a little. It's not like a spectacular card, but I think all economy cards will find a place, and this one is definitely going to find one eventually.
God's Eye find a place yet? Like, I'm just waiting.
Is that an economy card?
I'm waiting for that economy.
Yeah, yeah. People were talking about how HRD God's Eye is the new Greg's agenda, new 222 or. Nah, Knights of the Hollow Hill. There we go. I knew I would come around to what its actual name is in a minute.
Yeah. Some people definitely did make that joke. We'll see. But anyway, okay. So other card. Heil. Wow. You know, I'm going to go with Hunt. I'm just going to go with Hunt. It feels really weird to just say his first name. So
Heil. You have to say it like Kyle, but you know, like try to make the emphasis like Kyle. So,
guys, if Kyle, you continue to say this, I'm going to make Kyle. The joke we all know I'm thinking and shouldn't make. So just please move on.
All right.
Okay, so about him, though. I mean, he seems like a really respectable one of control card for Tyrell, right? Like, I can see a lot of decks that want somebody to boost stuff out. Even if they're not running like a pile of other tech to pump his strength up. And it's not even like, you know, Tyrell has to work hard to include cards to do that.
I think also Knights likes him, right? Because he can push an unopposed challenge, or at least encourage one. And he's a four-cost knight that you can put power on him through various knight trickeries. And he won't lose in the first snow.
Yeah,
he's also good with that first edition, that first cycle attachment, right?
Oh yeah, the jousting knight or whatever, or
Marin Heat. Where like too high strength, no, too low strength, no. You better get that shit just right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you may even run a maybe two of in the knight's deck.
Maybe he does work really nicely with the jousting pavilions.
Yes.
So,
he's very good. And, but yeah. Limit once per challenge. What's really nice is that he does not have to attack alone. Like 80% of the knights that, or 80% of everyone who does this, has to be alone in the challenge, and Sir Heil gives no shits about that.
And he's participating in general, attack or defense, mm-hmm. which also helps a little bit compared to like High Garden.
That kind of action's real good on defense, too. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of this dude. I'm going to give the house a C+, because I like Heil a lot, and I think Bounty is kind of trash.
I guess we're trading places. I was going to go B here.
I'll just go with a plain C with Aaron here,
I
think.
On mine.
I know, but I'm closer to you than I am to Will, so.
I mean, literally.
I think, I think Bounty is a card that will scale, and I think we'll be surprised, particularly in Melee. We'll see it played, where having economy locations is a lot less important than just having the gold. So,
mm-hmm. I concur. All right. Talk about your shitty house.
Yep. Haunted Forest Scout is a 2-cost military intrigue, non-unique, non-loyal, 2-strength bicon. There we go. No attachments except weapon. He's an ally, a ranger. Haunted Forest Scout cannot be declared as a defender. While you control 3 or more ranger characters, Haunted Forest Scout does not kneel when declared as an attacker.
Roy. When you say it has a military and intrigue icon, it kind of implies that he's a bicon.
Yes. Anyway, we have a loyal, 1-cost, unique location, Molestown, the North, bestow 4, challenges action, kneel Molestown to choose a character without gold. Move 1 gold from Molestown to that character. That character cannot be declared as an attacker until the end of the phase.
I don't think Molestown's good.
I think it needs testing. Like, I think it's one of those cards that is... I have not been testing it yet, no, because it has not been released. I don't even think it's in the Iron Burn yet, is it?
I don't look at Night's Watch cards.
So, but I think it needs testing. It has some interesting applications, because you can use it to refill your own bestow characters, but I don't really think Night's Watch has much interesting bestow. But, you know, it's balanced in the sense that you can only do it once and you can't do it on bestow characters. And you can do things like, you know, you could be forced in a situation where you have to re-bestow something that your opponent has. But the ability to run the 4th Craven, or I guess technically 7 Cravens in your deck is pretty good. But... I don't know. It's really vulnerable to Greyjoy and other location hate. I don't know. It's just going to require like actual real life testing, which I have not been able to get in yet, even though I'm on the Night's Watch team. I may have some more of it by the time this actually airs. But yeah. Haunted Forest Scout, on the other hand, great.
What, really?
And yeah. In an aggressive Night's Watch deck, like the one Fred Bird was burning up the summer season with? Okay. Oh, yeah. It's not hard to get 3 Rangers. Like, you want to run the Haunted Forest Scout, or you want to run the discard, what's he called? Forest.
The Old Forest Hunter.
Old Forest Hunter. You want to run the Lost Ranger in that deck. And then
Ranging
this.
Parties? Aren't those armies
and Ranging Parties. Yeah. And you're going to run Benjin in that deck. So that's enough Rangers pretty easily. Yeah. And I mean, any, you know, like if you've played with the Green Apple Knights, this doesn't have the plus X strength, you know, X strength for each knight you control, but it's still, it's 1 cheaper. Yeah.
But it can't defend. I don't know.
Yeah, but
it's a good little card. I don't think it's great.
Yeah, I think the green apple comparison still comes out negatively for the scout. But.
Yeah, me too. It can still be Venomous Bladed. I think it's a good card. I just don't think it's great. I don't think it moves the needle. It probably goes in that deck, but I don't know if it makes it significantly better.
I think it makes it significantly more consistent.
Maybe. We're going to find out at war, huh?
I don't. Yeah. I mean, we are testing this card, so. That I do know. So we'll see. I really don't have much to say about these Night's Watch cards. They're both a little... I feel whelmed by these Night's Watch cards. So I'm going to give them C pluses, but they're not spectacular, which has kind of been... I think Night's Watch is on the downswing of Danny printing kind of ridiculous Night's Watch cards. So, yeah.
You have a rating for him, Aaron, or should I jump in?
You can jump in. I'm still thinking, honestly.
Okay. I think I agree half and half with each of you on those. I think I'm kind of with Aaron that I'm down on the scout. You know, he seems like maybe a respectable Chud, but some of the comparisons, especially the Green Apple Knight, have me thinking that he's not quite as effective in that same role. The Green Apple Knight obviously has a lot of other support stuff in Tyrell, but the fact that he gets strength boost means a lot of times he can sally forth on his own and free up the rest of your forces to go elsewhere, but staying at two strength doesn't... I don't think that puts the Haunted Forest Scout in quite that same league. I think he's going to still need some compatriots. Moles Town, though, I'm torn. I'm very torn here. Not being able to attack with someone for a turn is very powerful, but it's also just that one turn, and then you're probably never targeting that character with it again. So I am a little afraid that, you know, I target their Tyrion or Tywin or something, and then keep wanting to do that and can't for the rest of the game. So I'm having a hard time here. Think I'll just play it safe and go with a C for these, right down the middle. They seem playable, but not great.
Yeah, kind of playable crap. I'm going with a C too.
Like, I think the Haunted Forest Scouts, though, they cannot have been allowed to attack. Like, they're just too efficient if they've been allowed to attack
or the defend
or defend rep. Yeah, right. Defend. I'm sorry. So. Like, they kind of end up in a weird situation of, like, the house that they're in, where any cheap bicon you give Night's Watch is just a huge boost to the defense deck. So I think they were sort of forced to design a card that has a very narrow niche, but it's just a good card in that narrow niche, unlike, say, its immediate sort of comparison, which is the Green Apple Knight, which, just the way Tyrell works, it's not crazy above curve to give them that card. So I don't know.
It's a consideration.
I think it's a C. I don't think it's...
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think we all agree.
So. It's fine.
So send me to Baratheon then?
Yeah, you get to read Barra.
All right. Up first, we have the Lysini Pirate. He's a non-unique, non-loyal, 4 cost, military and intrigue, 3 strength, Raider and Smuggler. Maybe we'll see something with those traits eventually. While you control a warship location, Lysini Pirate gains stealth. And reaction after you win a challenge, which Lysini Pirate is attacking, move 1 gold from the losing opponent's gold pool or a card that player controls to your gold pool. Then we get a location here. We get a warship. This is a 2-cost unique non-loyal warship trait, the Laughing Lord. Reaction after you initiate a challenge, kneel Laughing Lord to choose an attacking Baratheon character. Till the end of the challenge, that character gains Intimidate.
Man, you know how Barra and Greyjoy are such great allies in the books?
Uh-huh, such great allies. I kind of sort of like... I mean, like Aaron's saying, especially with that pairing, it's pretty trivial for the Lysini pirate to have stealth. And a four-cost bicon with these two icons with stealth, I really like the sound of, actually. The reaction on the pirate I'm pretty blah on. I think some of the bestow cards I really want to pull something off of, like, I don't know, Astapor maybe. My odds of being able to do so with the pirate are pretty low. But, man, like, Intimidate, I just keep discovering the longer second edition goes, that keyword just feels better and better and better the more I get to play with it. And Laughing Lord, giving it to any of my attacking Barrett characters, is pretty sweet.
Mm. These cards are amazing. I read Lysini Pirate wrong earlier, and I thought, like, move one gold and lose one with gold pool or card that player controls to your own meant one of your own characters. That's really badly phrased.
Gotcha. I read it.
It says it on it. Opponent's gold pool or card that player controls to your gold pool. But like it just says to your own on the like type up on Card Game DB.
Oh, that's true.
Oh.
So yeah, when I read it at first, I was like, oh my god, can I just steal bestow and put bestow? Like you can still steal someone's bestow, but you can no longer your guys, which makes me very sad.
Yeah, it's not quite as good.
If you could just steal and be like, begging brother, eat my balls. That would be amazing. But,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Or now you're, yeah.
Well, they'd have to cancel it, right? They would have to be like, oh, cancel every time, which would just be amazing. But yeah, that's not a thing you could, well, you can still do that, I guess. You can take the gold off begging brother, but you can't just stick it on your bank.
Yeah.
Or your, my favorite card, Iron Bank.
Stealing from Iron Bank is kind of thematic and pretty can be pretty brutal if you get it early.
If you get it like turn one and you've killed the location.
Yeah.
I love the thematic catch there.
Oh, I think the Lysini Pirate is a really good card in a firmly and consistently tier 2 deck. Which is the
Barra House?
No, not Barra House. Barra Greyjoy or Greyjoy Stag Stealth decks. Which you see oftentimes at larger tournaments, and they firmly are going at best 50%, right? Like they never seem to quite break into the tier 1.5 or tier 1. And I just don't know if Lysini Pirate is the card that is going to do it. And I don't think Laughing Lord is, but I think Laughing Lord is an interesting card for aggressive Barra decks. And I think aggressive Barra may be the direction that Barra is going to need to go to be competitive, to be more consistently competitive in Joust. So I'm sort of interested to see where Laughing Lord ends up. I think that's the card I think that we're going to see much more play than the Pirate.
Agreed. I think Laughing Lord we're going to wind up seeing a lot of once people get used to it. Also, I just realized Aaron has me actually looking at the write-up text. Is the flavor text for Laughing Lord in the write-up unreasonably small to you guys?
Yeah, you can Google it though, which is Dragagena and Laughing Lord are still playing Pirate on the River. I have heard, but who say if it's is so? So that's a really weird.
So my champ card will be called Ragged Jenna. Just love so it. You're aware, Ragged Jenna is coming soon.
Yeah, I think Laughing Lord may be a little overcosted, like two gold for this.
Yeah, you're wrong.
You think
I don't know. I mean, it's in the ballpark of like Pike.
I think it's very similar to Pike. Yeah, I think that's the perfect comparison. I think it's about as good as Pike. Like Barra, just like they need more ways to control you, right? Like this gives them one.
Yeah, gives them an interactive one. Mm-hmm. You have to win a challenge.
Yes. Yeah, it helps Dom. It's just all around good. I mean, like. If Bob's in two challenges, this is less useful, right? But other than that, it's really good.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's good
now
with
now I can give my Melisandre or somebody with an intrigue guy.
Yeah, Melisandre, an intrigue. Like it's good with a lot of people, man. It's good with every Barra character when you don't have Bob out, and then it's still good with almost every Barra character. So it's a really good card. King's like damage. It's really good with Lysini Pirate. because that stealthy intimidate's real good.
Yeah, it's a fantastic combination. I mean, I do look forward to experimenting with that Greyjoy deck between Vic, Bob, and Laughing Lord. If I can,
yeah, no, you can't run all that. You can't run all that. You can't run all that. Laughing Lord only works on barrier characters. You're not going to have enough of them.
If I'm running Vic,
I mean, yeah, but like then you've just got a dead location half the time, right? Like. That's cool, but like,
well, I'm gonna have other characters than just Victorian and Bob.
Yeah, but you're probably not running. Well, sorry, I thought you said Greyjoy Stag. My bad.
No. Sorry,
Bera Kraken. Definitely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, one that's like a bare bones Greyjoy package. Definitely.
Yes. Yeah.
Like that's
the
just
saves Victorian and
beyond
Asha
and Asha.
Yeah.
Not great on Theon.
Yeah, go ahead.
Not great on Theon.
But the
Laughing Lord. Oh wait, doesn't work on Theon. Wouldn't be great on Theon.
Doesn't work on Theon. So
yeah.
I think.
So
I'm giving this house. Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna go into ratings.
What you got?
That's all I was gonna do. So why don't you go ahead?
I'm giving it an A-.
Oof. Spicy.
I think these cards are huge for Bear. Like, genuinely huge. And I'm very scared to see what the fuck John comes up with this stupid bullshit.
I definitely, Dark Nudge. These are Dark Nudge cards. I'm still skeptical of the pirate a little bit, but I will go with B+.
Yeah, I think B+ is where I come down on it. Like, I think when I look at the pirate, I'm so distracted by the reaction that I'm kind of meh on. But I need to remind myself that even if he had no other text, but, you know, just that top ability, and most of the time, you know, was this stealthy mid-range body, I would like that. And I really like the Laughing Lord. So I think B+ seems pretty reasonable.
What's Bear's other warship? Isn't there another one?
Betha?
Betha? That's the one that turns everyone into Robert, right?
They get
the other portion of Robert, the strength boost.
Yeah, so you can make anyone Robert if you had them both. Everyone Bob.
Well, you got to run both of them in this deck, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Well, without the renown, I guess. But man, that's real good.
Do it to someone that already has renown, like Barrist.
Yeah, or...
There you go.
Bless you.
Or Barrist.
All right.
Pretty much it.
Yeah, Barristan or also Barristan is fine.
Barristan doesn't have a lot of native for it.
They have the 3/5 guy who I still don't think is particularly good.
Yeah.
I
don't think anyone.
People still play him. But I feel like every time I play against him, he ends up mine for at least 2 turns.
He can be good with Flea Bottom.
Yeah, sure. Your deck better be fast, because otherwise you're probably accelerating me sooner or later. And remember, I play a lot of Martell, so they don't really have the power icons that they use.
That's a problem.
Let's keep going. I want to read the Lannister cards.
Okay. Do it.
Raff the Sweetling is a military intrigue. Sorry, military intrigue 5/4 ally, so not loyal. He's got pillage reaction. After Raff the Sweetling discards a character using pillage, choose a character with printed cost 2 or lower and return it to its owner's hand. We'll come back to it. And sparring in secret. Event, faction, Lannister. Cost 1. Kneel a knight to choose and stand another knight. Sparring in secret is terrible. But Raff the Sweetling is also kind of not that great. He's okay.
Yeah.
He's fine. He's like
you're always...
He's the good...
You kind of always want to use him on intrigue if you can. Because, like, pillage happens after military claim. So, like, you're not going to get that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That extra hit. But, like, decks are mostly characters.
You know, I think the about the best thing that I can half here, because I've been playing a bit of Bera again to try and see if I can find a way to make that happen, right? So I'm playing a Shy Priestesses, and I'm discovering there's just really not that many two-strength character or cost characters that are sitting on the board. It makes me skeptical. At first, I misread this as strength, and I was about to say, you know, I think I would rather just use this to try and, you know, power out something janky, bouncing my own Queen's Assassins back to hand. But I can't even do that. So, I don't know. I feel like these can be less useful.
Aren't Queen's Assassins 2?
They're... Oh, yes, yeah. Sorry, I'm getting confused with their ambush cost for a moment.
Yeah, no. That,
ambush is 4.
Yeah, that works fine.
Yeah. Well, there we go. That's probably more reliable than trying to bounce my opponent's stuff.
I don't think that's true. I mean, reliable, yes, but I don't know if it's better. The problem is where I'd want him is kind of a... Like, if this whole shit feels like it should be printed on a Clansman. Because I want to jump this in, I want to try it, then I want to bounce it around.
But Lannister's, it's themed around the mountain and his dudes.
I know. So he doesn't really work for that.
What were his raiders called?
Gregor's Marauders?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. I mean, they're obviously giving.
Holy shit.
And that is random kind of.
That is such useless knowledge in my brain.
It was a card, though, so that's probably why you know it.
There's lots of cards I don't know. I call every plot its numbers.
That's awkward now that some of them repeat.
very few. And there's always the one that matters. 481.
I think Raph will find himself in the decks because he's like his stats are the default 5 drop, right? From the core set, right? 5 for 4, 2 icons.
Yeah.
You know, does something, right?
So, kinda. Do you ever really run him over Janos?
Yeah, that's the question I was gonna get
to. And then, you don't really.
Is he better than
Janos? Yeah, but no one runs Janos. So, you see the problem here?
And you see Janos every once in a while.
Yeah.
I mean, Janos does die a little bit here.
To Martell and Targ, and, you know, there's no Targ anywhere. I mean, I don't know. I just don't like him. Like, I want to like him. I think he can, when he works, he's going to, win games where. But I don't feel like that's going to happen quite enough. Like, if you can get an intrigue through and you bounce their claim soak, then military. Or if they have 2 claim soak and then 1 is military, your march just got way the fuck better, right?
Yeah. And that's really valuable. I'm going to be in before the Box Tywin deck exists at some point. He'll go in that deck.
Uh-huh. Okay, that means it's time to move on. I'm going to give this house a D. Because, Sparring Secret's just complete trash and you should never run it. E as in...
I'm going to say never.
For the Hound. Because it doesn't get a mount rating.
Something might happen eventually, but it doesn't really have
a home. Hey, kneel my hedge knight to stand my mountain. Boom.
Cool story, bro.
Hit him with an extra... Village pole. I can see.
Yeah, you could definitely do that. Or you can run Seal of the Hand, which could go on anyone.
That's a lord.
And why are you running Hedge Knights and Lannister?
My Lanny Knights deck. Come
on. Yeah, that's a good deck. Alright, so trash.
I mean, if we got that agenda.
Alright, so I get the Greyjoy card?
I mean,
Will and I
is significantly better than Kingslayer. Alright.
That's true.
I don't care who gets what. I just want the Martell cards. Oh, I guess I have to do Targ and Martell, so I don't care who gets this.
Okay. Targ. Well, Roy and I didn't actually even rate Lannister.
Oh,
did we?
You guys should do that.
Let's do that real quick. I'm actually kind of down on Lanny here. I'm going to give him a C-. I think Raph gets elbowed out most of the time, and Sparring in Secret is going to need a different match of knights to really make it self felt, so it's gonna be a while.
Pity D.
Man. Lanny Knight should
Pity D. Ooh, so you would have given it lower?
I don't think I could fail it. Raph is too good for an F.
I'm just exaggerating for effect. Alright, I get to read the Greyjoy cards.
Go ahead, since you're so excited.
I am very excited. Alright, so we have a 7 cost Asha. She has all 3 icons, 5 strength. Is unique, loyal. She's a captain, an ironborn, a lady. She has pillage, stealth, and the following reaction. After Asha Greyjoy discards a card using pillage, search the top X cards of your deck for a card and add it to your hand. Shuffle your deck. X is the number of cards in your opponent's discard pile. That is followed. That really Come
on, melee boy.
Losing opponent's discard pile. I apologize. Excuse me. And now on to a degenerate card. King's Moot is an event. Loyal, 2-cost reaction. After you win dominance, choose a unique Greyjoy character you control. That character gains 1 power for each unique Greyjoy character you control. Max 1 per round. Whew. Interesting card that's really cool and makes you want to build different decks, and one degenerate card. Which one is which?
Wait, that's not true at all. Well, you don't build new decks for either of these.
You don't build a new deck for Asha?
You just stick her in Greyjoy Reigns. Congratulations. Greyjoy Reigns is back to being one of the top 3 decks in the game.
There you go.
There's Greyjoy Reigns, Targ whatever bullshit, and then whatever Tyrell bullshit, because it's all the same. So those are the 3 best decks. Have fun for the next little bit. Also, probably number 5 is the stupid King's Moot deck. So that's really annoying.
The King's Moot deck is just dumb.
I mean, so is the Greyjoy Reigns. Have you played against Greyjoy Reigns with Asha yet?
Not with Asha, no. But I
not with Asha.
But I have played against Greyjoy Reigns.
So you know how Euron's kind of a nightmare?
She doesn't steal your shit.
Yeah, it
though.
Got worse. No. She just keeps making
Yeah, she just gives them whatever they need.
Yeah. Yeah. It's ridiculous. She's so fucking ridiculous. Like, I got nothing. Except that shit's ridiculous.
She's good with her boat. She's really good with her boat.
You know what she's good with? Being on the board. Like, being on the board is probably a good place for her. You don't really want her in your hand. She doesn't do anything there. But once you play her, like, she's really good. Like, because Greyjoy, when they have cards, is good, and then when Greyjoy can choose cards, they choose saves, and then their cards don't go anywhere. That's a fucking nightmare.
The only trick, I think, is maybe them getting the income to begin with. Pushing them a little higher, maybe.
Did you forget Gates of the Moon was last chapter back? Because Greyjoy didn't.
Yes, I did.
And also, Euron's going to take your economy. He said that shit.
I haven't seen anyone bite the bullet and drag Gates down. Maybe I should, because I'm personally kind of down.
You're just wrong. It's phenomenal. It's not good. It's fantastic. Like, when I see it on setup, I'm so fucking happy.
It is super duper strong on setup. Aaron is absolutely correct. And in any non-choke
and
deck,
if you see it
later in the game, it's not that great. Like,
it's not as great because you've probably already seen other economy. But if you haven't seen economy for like 2 turns and then you draw one, it's like fucking mana from heaven.
Yeah, I mean, particularly
like,
for...
with one card, my economy problems are done.
Right, yeah. Greyjoy's big problem because their 2-cost location is kind of blah.
It's better now, with Asha.
But,
yeah.
You know, they've had problems with consistent economy, right? So they would have like the 2 or 3 econ plots. But then after that, if you could sort of weather the storm... Greyjoy would sort of run out of gas a little bit, and Asha makes it much harder for that to happen, and Gates of the Moon makes it much harder for that to happen because if they see Gates of the Moon at any turn, that turns a whole variety of Greyjoy plots into ridiculous, you know, turns Rise of the Kraken into a 4-goal 4-8-2. And yeah.
It's not like Great Halls stopped existing sometime in the past a little bit. Like, I feel like you would probably even just run 10 econ in that, or 9 econ in that. No, you run 9 anyway, 10 econ in that. Sorry, getting sleepy. But no, yeah, Gates of the Moon is fucking unreal with that deck. Like, you'll see. You'll just see how stupid and mean, stupid mean Greyjoy. Like, how do you get them off the board if you're not playing Burn? Doharis, cool. They reflood. They now have draw.
I mean, Asha is a really good answer to Doharis, right? Even more than... I think you... All right, so say you have her and Euron, and Euron doesn't have a bunch of power on him or anything.
Yeah, then you keep Asha. Without question.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it depends on the house. Like, against Martell, maybe you keep Euron, right? Mm-hmm. Euron has that extra strength for Ariane.
Well, she can go fetch a copy of your Euron, right? The next turn.
Yeah. It's dumb. Like, they... Ugh, it's just... Like, the sheer... It, like, I've played against her so much that I'm just like, every time I play against her, I'm like, this is going to be a problem. Like, I bang Stark decks against that, and I'm just like, oh, right. They just have all the best big guys in the game right now.
They really do. And the ability to keep them on the board, with, that's the...
Well, them and Terrell, right? Yeah. And Terrell has all the draw, so they keep him on the board. It's fun.
Yep. So I think, though, we should probably spend a little bit of time with Kingsmood, because Kingsmood... Yeah.
We're barely talking about the one that's more interesting.
Is it interesting? I don't know if this card is interesting, Will.
I think it's super... It's the most uninteractive card I've seen in 8.
It's just...
Like, you save 2 gold and hold on to this card and then gain, like, 5 power.
Yeah, you can eat...
And wind dominance. Yeah. You gotta wind dominance.
Have you played against Naga Rib yet?
No.
Oh, it's just...
Yeah, people down by you need to play good decks, I think is the problem.
Or just bad decks with Naga's Ribs in them. Then you'll at least see how the card goes. Well, like,
I think the problem is I haven't played for about holiday break. This past weekend was the first weekend we've all gotten back together to start at it again.
Anyway, so. Naga's Ribs basically says Greyjoy wins dominance. And
it's way better than the Iron Throne.
And you can stick... I mean, even without a deck that's specifically built about abusing Kingsmoot, it's not hard for Greyjoy to have 3 unique characters, maybe 4.
So that's 4 power.
That's 4 power plus the 1 for dominance. That's 5 power.
No, I was counting. Dominance. Right. So that's 4. But there's also a plot that says plus 2. So that's 6 power without any effort, because 3 uniques is
so
super fun.
That's over a third of your win condition. In one turn. And so that means that if Greyjoy gets to like 6 to 8 power, they can close in a turn from that 6 to 8 power. If they start a turn and close not in the challenges phase, not, oh, I want a bunch of challenges to close.
God.
You can literally pass your challenges phase with Greyjoy if you have enough unique characters and just be okay. Better have those hands judgments.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah, that's one thing that worries me. It pushes the hand's judgments into almost even more of an auto include.
That's a huge tempo hit. I mean, save 2 gold for a hand's judgment, and they can just wait a turn, and then okay, you Valor while Greyjoy has saves.
Exactly. In the abstract, I like that it pushes another house to care about dominance other than just Baratheon being the only one. They might have cranked this one up to 11, so to speak.
Yeah, anyway, these are A cards. Or maybe even S.
I don't know if I go quite S. I'm going to go A+ for Greyjoy. Okay, on to Targaryen, then. We've got 2 more here. We have another of the handmaids, Jiqui. She's, of course, unique, and she is loyal. 2 cost, intrigue, power icon, 2 strength, companion, and Dothraki. And a reaction, after you win a challenge, discard 1 card from your hand to have a participating lord or lady character gain 1 power. I do also love the flavor text. Just 3 words. It is known. And then we have a unique location, also loyal. The Skahazadon, 2 cost, Essos, traded. Reaction, after you reveal a plot card, kneel the Skahazadon, and discard 1 card from your hand to gain 2 gold. 3 gold instead, if that plot card has the Summer trait. Let me maybe start here with the Skahazadon, and I'm just going to say, if this had been about a year ago, I probably would have loved this. For Targ, but right now I think they've got the econ they need, and as much as they don't care all that much about chucking cards from hand, there's also, I think, an upper limit to how many of those you can run before you just run out of cards to keep that flowing. So I think the Skahazadon's going to be cut for that reason. Jiqui, though, I really like. Like, she's another... like small weenie that I really dig. A lot of upside to the icon, the cost of strength there, an ability that may be worthwhile, that I think is going to be really quite good in melee. Now that you have an actual restricted list there in melee, keeping things like superior claim a little less common. So any extra power grab like that's going to be big.
I think both of these cards are ridiculously good. I think Jiqui is a win more card, but she's in a cost slot that it's okay because you can just play her as a 2-for-2 two icon body, and if you get the reaction off, that's awesome. If you don't, well, you were running maybe one of her, but if you do have her and you need that turn where you're sitting at 11, 12 power, and she's makes you can close in a situation where you couldn't close. So she's very flexible. She can come back with Flea Bottom. For example, you can chuck her to the unpronounceable Essos location of this pack.
Gazadon. It's so easy.
Yeah, so right. Well, it's a made-up language, so I don't really feel bad about not caring to pronounce it properly. But I think it's really strong. I think in a world of HRD in particular, it's really strong. I think it's flexibility that you always get 2 gold, 3 with a summer plot. Targ wants to run summer plots, and everybody's running at least one. Means you can consistently get that 3 gold. That gives Targ the ability to, even just the 2, let's ignore the 3, run lower curve plots, so that means more impactful plots like Famine, or Blood, which Targ decks already want. And it lets them sort of ignore other kinds of things. So just really powerful and flexible, and particularly early. Like, that's why I think it's good in HRD. The ability to seed your discard pile early is really powerful in Targ, and this just gives you another way to do it. So I'm big, big A's on these cards. So.
I don't actually like Jiqui very much. I think the other two Chuds are better in that they help you win challenges instead of just win more. Jiqui is perfectly fine in one of those crossing rush decks. You run her in those, but I don't think she really fits in other Targ. The Skaza whatever is the new Targ HRD location of choice. It's fucking phenomenal, like super duper excellent good. I think I love this card. I think I've got a giant crush on it.
Wow. Do you think it's that good as HRD location? Not that I'm 100% disbelieving, but if I reframe that argument, I just want to double check. Would an agenda that straight up said draw one less card during the draw phase, you know, get 2 gold, like, would that kind of trade off sound good?
Is it an action? Like, you get to choose?
Well, like, I'm fudging it a little bit the way I said that to make
if it was an agenda
across, like, if this is your HRD, like, that is a location you want to be using every turn, in which case you're effectively only drawing one card every turn for the draw step, so to speak, right?
I'm also running 2. I'm also running 2 counting, and
that turns your counting into a 4 gold plot, by the way.
Right, and assuming they're not running a summer plot, I'm running 2 counting and support.
Okay, so and to you an agenda then that just said, draw one less card every turn, get 2 gold, or, you know, +2 gold or whatever. That is a reasonable trade for you.
Oh yeah,
I'm torn on that.
I think it's worse in your agenda example because you still draw the card in this case, and you get to choose which of the cards you discard. And so in that situation, you are denying yourself resources entirely. In this, you get to choose which resources you want to chuck. So you don't, and you also don't have to trigger it. Like,
you don't have to, but if you don't want to trigger it every turn, why?
I
want to
trigger it every turn, and I want to run 3 plots to let me trigger it.
Over the setup drawback of HRD. I just wanted to make a broad stroke sort of thing there.
I think it's one of the reason why I don't like your agenda example, it's something I think Aaron taught me, that it's better to draw the card and then have to discard it than it is to just not draw it. Because you could end up with that card could be better than any card in your hand, right? So the fact, again, that you get to choose what resources you're getting rid of instead of just not drawing them is very powerful. And that's the thing we've seen in Targ, right? Which is that the ability to chew randomly discarding cards or not drawing cards is bad. But the ability to be able to choose which cards are going to enter your discard pile is very powerful, particularly in a faction with a bunch of broken tools to manipulate its discard pile.
So do you guys think that there is an upper limit on these discard from hand to get an effect cards? Or does it all still come out in the wash?
I think it comes out in the wash. At least until Flea Bottom goes away.
I agree with Aaron. As long as Flea Bottom remains in play and there's this really broken way to leverage your discard pile, or two, as long as they remain optional, it's just a turn where you only have two cards in your hand and both of those two cards are cards you need, you know, just in the way the game plays, you don't have to get rid of the card, right? I think right now, no, that there isn't a limit.
Yeah.
Because these effects synergize off each other, right? Like having more of these discard cards in your deck means that you're going to have more of the cards you want in your discard pile to make your Flea Bottom better.
But you also have a choke point then on the back end of that engine in that you're only using Flea Bottom once per turn. If you've discarded, you know, five cards that round for different effects, you're still only getting one per turn back from the Flea Bottom to offset that.
Well, you also have three Freedmen in your deck, and you're pulling out a six strength Bicon out of your discard pile for one gold.
Well, if that's the only thing you're doing, then you know you're pretty locked in on that. On the Second Sun's recursion, then.
I'm pretty okay with this.
I understand where you're coming from, Will, and I've definitely seen Targ players end up in a situation like you're describing, where that engine just ends up running them out of gas. But I think more often that is what they want, which is like Second Sun's every single turn, and that ability to have action economy on very few cards is massively powerful. And you can get a Targ player, even without them discarding cards, down to one or two cards, and they still have Second Sons. They still can discard one of those cards to Plaza. They can still pull Freedman out of the discard pile to get Claim Soak or oppose a challenge that would have brought you to 15. There's just so many options. There's the Barristan build, right, that wants to have no cards in its hand. And then you have Barristan doing all of these challenges at you that I don't think that there's a drawback right now in most Targ decks. I mean, obviously, all decks' game plans can go wrong and they can just on you.
Sure,
but I think mostly Targ decks, and I think the results show that Targ decks are not doing that. And the fact that they're getting this powerful tool that also gives them economy so they can play some of those big dudes like Khal Drogo that allow them to leverage their discard pile even more. So.
I don't see this as really a downside.
Okay. Well, what kind of rating then do you guys give these cards?
A.
I agree.
I don't think they're as good as Greyjoy, which breaks shit, but I think that this is probably the second or third best Targ deck HRG Skads.
I'm definitely further down than that. I think, especially when you mentioned Greyjoy, I think there is a much wider gap here between these cards and those cards. You know, maybe here I am with the traditional underrating of a location, but I think Targ here, like, these are respectable and the Skahazadon is certainly interesting, but I think these total or coming out somewhere in the B range, minus maybe. I mean, Fiqui is, I like her, but she's individually probably only like a C card herself, so there you go.
I think she's probably like a C+, and the other card's an A, but I think the other card is good enough A. that I'm fine going higher.
You know, I just want to point out, you know, it's kind of nice that we took a little bit of a holiday break from doing this. I feel like we had kind of gotten to the point where we just sat around and talked cards so much and did reviews and stuff that, you know, most of the time as we finished each house, we were just like, yeah, everyone agree, that's a B. Everyone agree, that's an A. Whatever. Now we've actually got a little more difference of opinion.
Oh, sure. Patton, you're wrong a lot. All right, Dark Star.
All right, read your favorite house, Aaron.
Dark Star is awesome. His stats say awesome all over them. He's 5-4, just like Ref the Sweetling. So, you know, he's just going to be that good. Military intrigue, same icons. But he is House Dane, so that's definitely better than Ally. And he's a Knight, which is also better than Ally. And he has Stealth, which is better than nothing. And he has the reaction.
Better than Pillage. Pillage. He had.
Stealth's way better than Pillage. After Darkstar bypasses a character using Stealth, that character loses an icon of your choice until the end of the phase. That's also very excellent and better than Wrath, so I'm really happy they cost the same, because this card's phenomenal, and Wrath sucks. The Sandsteed is a one-cost attachment warhorse. After a Summer Plot enters his use pile, attached character gains one power. Yeah, it's fine, I guess. You're trying to set up a bunch and, I guess, get passive power. I don't really like passive power, so I don't really like this card.
Powerful, though.
Limit is one copy per character, so you can't just load them up on one dude for extra power, thankfully. So you have to keep a few people around. I don't care about Sandsteed. I'm sure it's fine, but it's boring-ass passive power. It's a... Yeah, Darkstar is awesome. Like, if this pack weren't so silly, it would be the best.
Yeah, he's in that amazing cost slot for Martell. Anything that could be dumped in with Core Ariane always deserves. Does the things that Martell wants, with the icons that Martell wants, with the keyword that Martell wants. Yeah, he's really good. And the fact he's non-loyal and a knight actually kind of makes me interested to sort of see if there's like a Banner Sun knight package thing that could exist. But I don't know. He's a great card. But that and Sandsteed is passive power and will probably end up being pretty strong in certain decks. Yeah. It would be interesting to see, like, because it would have to be, I think for Sandsteed to be good, it has to be a Martell deck that wants to keep guys on the board, but is also attrition-y and control-y. And a lot of Aaron, so are there Martell decks that are like that right now, that sort of are slower game plan, passive power decks, but definitely also play dudes that stick?
Doesn't exist. Never heard of it. Yeah, no, it's fantastic. Even if you use him once or twice, he's amazing. He's also not loyal and amazing in banner packages with the Core Ariane.
Wait, did we...
I was asking about Sandsteed.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I got mentally lost.
I thought you were telling me Sandsteed was amazing. And I thought, man, this is does not seem like Aaron's kind of card.
No, Sandsteed, I don't care. I don't want to talk about Sandsteed. I don't want to talk about it. I don't care.
Okay, all right.
Like, it's boring. Can we just talk about how awesome Darkstar is in every Martell deck? Like, does Martell now have the best 5-cost slot in the game?
Yes. Did it ever not?
Yeah.
I mean, even when Martell was on the weaker end of the curve, Ariane.
You don't need anything else. Just on the back of Ariane.
I mean, Ariane, and then they got Bastard of God's Grace.
Yeah, and then they
have Darkstar, and that's Darkstar. Like three of the best 5-cost.
I feel like they have
game.
One other one.
That's true.
I don't know.
Quentin is 6, right?
Quentin is 6. Maester Aemon's not actually a Martell card, right?
That's true. That's true. He's not actually a Martell card.
Just feels like a Martell card, right? Yes. You can't run him if you're not running Martell, usually. I guess that's not totally true. I'm looking for Martell cards. How do I look that up? Usually I make Scott do this kind of thing.
He's fast.
Yeah, Scott's always like, oh, look, I figured it out. You guys can continue to talk about how great Darkstar is while I while I figure out how to do this. How's Martell? Oh, you're already ahead of me?
Yeah, I went to go do it on card game.
Bastard of God, Grace, Spear Meat. Oh, Nymeria. That's why.
Nymeria.
Nymeria. Like, one of the best. And she came in the first chapter pack, right? So.
Yeah.
People can be forgiven for forgetting about her. You know, it's been so long since that chapter pack.
Yeah.
Spear Maiden? Man.
Spear Maiden's not good, but. I mean, she's fine, but
yeah, I think but it's a card that exists.
Nymeria, Arion, Bastard of God's Grace, and now Darkstar. It's just it's the best five card slot, and it I think is going to be, and there's going to be at least one more five cost character in the Martell box that we're getting. I think Martell really is actually going to own the mid range value spot.
What else are we getting in the five cost slot?
So at least something in the Martell box.
Almost certainly.
They always do one, like usually one thing in at least each cost slot. So
that seems accurate.
I mean, I don't really know.
I'm looking at other houses' five cost slots now. Every time I do this, though, it's like, hey, you have to re-click for everything.
I mean, there's a lot of good stuff.
Rate the house.
I'm gonna give it a B.
I'll give it a B minus. Darkstar is really good.
Ooh. You know, Night's Watch is right there for five costers. Grizzled Miner, Craster, Cotter Pike, Benjin, and Cold Hands.
Ooh, there you go.
Those are all pretty good.
I was like, I bet you Night's Watch has a bunch that I just don't play because I don't play that out.
Hey, you know what would be good? What if you combined all those five cost characters?
I don't know if you can. That seems illegal.
Actually, I think are all of the five cost five cost Martell cards are not loyal. I believe so.
I think
you're right.
Yeah. So there you go. You can combine them. But anyway, what did you think, Will, about
the
Martell card?
I was kind of weighing and debating there because I really love Darkstar. Fantastic ability. Stealth, like he is going to push challenges through like nobody's business. But I'm decidedly meh on Sandsteed. I think it's too slow and forces you to spread too wide for it to really be practical, even with the Martell event to put extra stuff into your used pile, which I think would trigger this reaction, but. That seems really unwieldy just to power this. Guess maybe I give him a B overall, but that's almost entirely on the back of the Darkstar.
Yeah. I agree.
So do we want to do the two Brotherhood characters together, or do we want to read them separately?
We usually do these one at a time. But
yeah. All right.
I can't imagine they're going to take long.
Unique character, Tom of Seven Streams.
I've heard that as Tom of Seven Strings for years.
It's Tom O Seven Strings is what his name was in first edition. And he's often called in the books. But his actual name is Tom of Seven Streams.
Okay, well, good.
It's even in his flavor text. Anyway, he's a four-cost monocon, power icon, three strength, unique. Brotherhood, Minstrel, R'hllor, Reaction. After you play a song event, choose and stand a non-loyal character you control. Limit once per phase.
Man, I always wanted a way to stand more Tyrell characters.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely goes in your beloved song deck.
He might actually make that a thing now. I tried it, and then I felt bad for trying. But
hey. Go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's consistency to that deck, though. And consistency is what you want. And it's more song support, which I think is going to be Danny's great contribution to specific themes that designers love. in Game of Thrones.
I'm all for that. I mean, there's a ton of non-loyal characters that I would be okay with hitting with these with this guy. Not even just in Tyrell, but let's not kid ourselves. It's going to be a Tyrell deck you play this guy in, right?
That's almost certainly wrong. If this is going to go anywhere, you know where it goes?
Where?
Barra,
yeah.
Does Barra have a single in-house song?
Could not give a shit less.
Just for a Relore body. For no other reason.
Yes.
A four-cost Relore body is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can always run Barra Rose.
I think that's probably the direction you have to go if you do that.
Yeah, I don't want to stand my non-loyal guys in Barra. They all suck.
Yeah. I do at least like that he's neutral, so you could, you know, play him to power Mel and then have him on the board to power.
All right, this is a waste of goddamn time. No. All right, so what we're calling this right now is a C-.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
I think he's actually a D, to be really honest. Like, he's pretty bad.
I'm holding.
I gave him enough weird shit. If the Brotherhood trait ever matters, that's fine. If song, we've got 5 billion pieces of song tech. It could be good one day. And we've got Relore and Stand. Those are all good things. It's just he's bad.
If we get another like reasonable neutral event, then I'll come back. Sorry, neutral song event. I meant to say. Then I'll be interested to revisit him. But he's pretty niche right now.
He's a quiche. All right, Lem and Cloak.
Yep.
That's you, Will.
All right.
Oh, I can go again.
Oh, or Will. I don't
know. I think it's me.
Someone who's not me, read that.
All right. Lem and Cloak, that is neutral, unique. 3 cost, military icon, 2 strength, Brotherhood, and you guessed it, Relore. While you control no loyal characters, Lem and Cloak gains +2 strength and gains a power icon.
Wow, I'm so happy they gave Barra Brotherhood this card.
Exactly one deck it goes in.
But it goes in that deck. You're running a one of in every Barra Brotherhood
deck. I mean, it goes in any Brotherhood deck as a one of, right? Like, if you run the Brotherhood agenda.
But it's probably. I don't even know if that's true. Maybe.
He's a 3-for-4 Vicon. But I guess he dies to Martell, but that's kind of.
Yeah.
I mean. I don't know. He's fine. And he's fine in any Brotherhood deck, right? Like,
can we just give him a C and move on with life?
He's a C.
We can give him a C, but I do at least want to throw out one medley nod that,
oh God,
that Aaron made me think of. You know, because all these cards are pushing you into a Barra Brotherhood build, which, you know, is actually strangely fitting since the Brotherhood were doing, you know, what they were doing.
They're Kingsmen.
Yeah, they're Kingsmen. Only they start doing most of their stuff after that king is dead, so Robert's never with him, and Robert's loyal, so you literally can't play him with them. Okay, well, I mean, you could, but you don't get any of the effects. So, Nedliness.
He is a loyal character, so...
There you go. It's a thing. All right, Aaron, you get the next one. You get these.
See. Oh, wait, did we all read it? Because I stopped listening because, God, I'm not listening to
the
stuff.
Yeah, we just agreed to see.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Forgotten by History, 3-cost event. It's neutral because, we're on neutral cards. It's a Dom action. Kneel your faction, choose a character putting cost X or lower, and shuffle it into its owner's deck. X is the amount of power on the faction card of that character's controller. Everyone seems to like this an awful lot more than I do. I think that it's a lot to hold 3 gold and assume this is going to survive till Dom, and I feel like most of the time, by the time this has enough, the house card has enough power on it, like, this isn't going to be amazing. It's good, but I don't think it's amazing.
I mean, I think,
and it's got to be in a specific deck.
I think people get up to like 5 pretty quick, but 5 power on house, I should say.
So you're going to pay 3 gold to chuck a 5.
5 gold and a card, let's not forget.
Yeah.
Yeah, 5 gold. I mean, at that point, just fucking run put. or the best kill spell in the game.
Yeah, it's the cost.
Or Mutiny, which is also Dominance and a Zero. And the Faction Neil. It's just, it's a lot. It's a big ask. It's a big ask to play this.
Yeah.
And it's dead early game, so you draw it early and you're like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
It's one of those cards that I don't think I'm going to play because the efficiencies just don't line up for me well enough there.
But you'll play a Song deck.
Exactly. I mean,
hey, those Song events are efficient.
Yeah. All right. I mean, okay, there's a difference between like a deck I'm building for shits and giggles and a deck I'm taking to a tournament. No one expects me to take a Song deck to a tournament. But
I kind of do.
But Forgotten by History is the sort of removal spell that, like, abstractly, you know, kind of lines up with
calling it a removal spell.
Yeah, exactly. That lines up with that more competitive end, but it doesn't work for me there. But I just know it's that kind of card where at some tournament somebody is going to play it against me, and it's going to be a huge blowout right at the end of the game. And I'm just going
to
face
it. I mean, you know what? That's a chance I'm willing to take. And, like, if you're playing, I don't know where this would go.
It has to go in a very attrition-y deck that is looking for
double mark.
Yeah, running double marks, right?
Because if it was power, I think, on their house.
Yeah, I think. I mean, attrition decks can let your opponent get power and then just flip the game and slowly steal that power back, right? That's, and like when I play attrition decks, like they can get to 7 or 8 power and then you get them in a lock and you slowly grind them away. And this card can definitely help with that. I think it's just a little underpowered for what I want to do. And I think there are better, cheaper cards that do what Aaron said, like, Mutiny is just a better way of doing the main thing you want to do, which is largely getting dupes off big characters, right?
Yeah.
So you can march or valor them, right? Or yeah. And Mutiny is better at that. Tears of Lis is better than that. New Orion is better at that.
It's bull poopy.
Yeah, I don't think it's bull poopy because I think I think there's going to be a Greg or a Sam or a Bruno that will find synergies for this.
I think this is their kind of deck. Their kind of card.
But I don't know.
And Greg, I think it's a C. Greg doesn't know what Thrones is.
I'm at that type of player.
Greg would be... Bruno's on my war team, so I don't know what you're talking about. So somewhere Greg is just sat up in the middle of the night and went, "There are no men like me." And like, he doesn't know why, and he's very confused. You hurt his ego, even though he doesn't know it. It's so big, he can still feel it. I haven't taken a shot at Greg in a while. I feel like that was necessary.
Oh, man, if only he was here to shoot back.
It's hard for me to imagine slotting this and not Nightmares in a deck.
Yeah. Exactly. I personally think it's a D. I don't expect it to be played regularly. I just know I'm going to eventually have that blowout that's going to drive me crazy.
All right, let's talk about Dead Steve Simone.
You're supposed to read it, aren't you, Aaron?
I definitely read Forgotten by History, but
yeah,
sure.
No, I'll read it.
The Withering Cold is a 5/6/1/6. It is a plot. It is neutral. It's a winter plot. Its text says, "Skip the standing phase this round. Plot deck limit 1. Card design by 2013 North American champion Stephen Michael Simone." I have no idea if that's his middle name. I made that up. This is the opener Martell has been dreaming of, by the way. There's, like, nothing with this stat line in the game except that card that really wants you to go first, Besieged. And Martell's just like, "Can I just go second, please, turn one?" And this is basically going to guarantee that. This is good. I'm just not 1,000% sure where.
Barra.
Probably.
Neil.
Yeah. Terrell with the stand.
Yeah. I think maybe even Tyrell more than Barra? Stand letting them really leverage that turn with impunity.
It also Ooh, it's a choke card too, because it skips the entire standing phase. Uh-huh. So that means it the two drop locations don't get to stand. Most yeah, it's a choke card. Like it could be an opener in something like a winner deck. Like yeah, it's
probably an opener in your house's HRD White Tree.
Yeah,
yeah, it's pretty good. Or Night's Watch winner.
Mm-hmm. Targ likes it because Targ has
a million ways to stand things and jump things in that don't care about this.
Right.
Yep.
Well, speaking of that, then does
Stark,
Lenny like it? Got two beefy
Lenny
and a lot of jumpers.
One type of Lenny likes it. The Lenny clansman likes it.
Mm-hmm. Because none of their stuff is in play.
So the problem may be that too many things like this in second edition.
That's a problem?
Yes, because if every deck likes it, it's not actually hurting them.
I think it can be a little brutal on the first turn.
I think it can be a lot brutal on the first turn. The problem is, if you both play it first turn, you just kind of shrug at each other and look funny.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm. It's a good card, man. It's a good opener. I don't know if you play it any other time, but it's a really good opener.
It was a good and it was a good. It doesn't even have the prized.
No.
Like so Martell likes it. Targ likes it. Lanny likes it. Nice Watch likes it. Stark likes it. Terrell likes it.
I don't think Stark likes it on the first turn, though.
Depends
probably
on
not. Problems. But Stark still likes it. But now we're at six, right? Like, so Greyjoy doesn't like it. Greyjoy is very sad.
This is real sad for Greyjoy. Like, particularly first turn.
Yeah. They're like, I played all my big guys. They're just going to stand here for a round. Thank you.
Well, then they stand there. They win dominance. They play King's Moon.
And they win the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. Wait, what? There's one. What's the other house that I'm forgetting exists?
Did you say Martell?
Martell likes it. So does everyone like it but Greyjoy? At least in certain circumstances?
In some ways, it kind of feels like it, yeah.
I mean, I think we're overselling it a little bit. I think it's going to shake out that only like three houses consistently like it.
I think they all like it. I think the only three houses play it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, play it. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, no, I think it's great. I think it's an A card. I think it might be more than an A card. I love it. Like, love it.
Wow. Are you going to give it the vaunted S rating?
No, it's just an A.
Oh, okay.
It's just, yeah, I think it's like an A minus, you know.
I just really am excited that Martell has this tool now.
It's not a rush tool like it was in first edition.
It might be an old Arion tool.
I can definitely see that. Yep.
It plays with both Arions pretty well, though, right? Because they're generally not in play.
Yeah, but like when you bounce that card, that's a card that's not kneeling.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
So that's not ideal.
I think the first one, giving you additional action advantage to work around it, is probably better between
right,
the two.
Right. Yeah. That's my thought, yeah.
Well, you could be bouncing your own dudes with Arion, your favorite player.
Yeah, I really do that way too goddamn much. I'm just like, mid-game, well, time to start bouncing my own dudes. You guys don't have any dupes? All right, so eventually I'm going to clear that board anyway, so time to bounce my own dudes if you're not closing the game. Man,
well, I think I'm pretty well there with A minus as well. I think it seems pretty strong, but we'll see which houses really keep up with it in the end.
Definitely Bera in the middle of the game.
All right.
Matt?
Overall chapter pack thoughts. Did you guys rate it?
Yeah.
I said A minus.
I don't know what that sound was. Definitely wasn't me playing on Thorn Techie as we finished this review.
Definitely. You would never do such a thing.
That would be rude. Just rude.
I think that we're on the third pack now, and I think it might be... It lacks some of the splash of the first chapter pack, but I think it is an overall stronger pack than the first pack.
But it continues that this cycle has power cards. This is some serious power creep cycle, and it keeps going. Like, this is what, 3 chapter packs in a row that Tara gets amazing cards. 3 chapter packs in a row that Lannister gets kind of mediocre cards. Barra got really strong cards. Stark got good cards, hey?
I'd really like to unprint that one Greyjoy card here.
Yeah, Greyjoy got Redonkey Donk cards. Yeah, it's a really strong pack, and this plot, as we end it, we sort of ended it on a really good note. So this is a good pack. This is like a B plus pack.
Yeah, something like that.
I'd maybe go B. A few of those cards I'm less excited about, but overall I think there's a lot of good stuff in this pack. Props and slops?
I can do a props and slops, I guess.
Yes. Alright. Well, thanks for lowering yourself to that point to help us out.
I got a prop.
Do tell.
I got a prop and a slop. My prop is to King Johnny Wright for the Thrones War draft, and my slop is to King whoever the fuck drafted Roy, because Roy should be on my team.
I will prop Neil, who is the person who drafted me. I appreciate Neil's vote of confidence in me, and I will also prop everyone who watched Sid and I stream the live auction. That was a lot of fun. I was very, very tired and squirrely at the end, and was very tired and squirrely at work the next day, but it was definitely worth it.
Awesome.
I concur with all of that. I don't know what squirrely means in this context, but I agree that Roy is definitely it.
Whatever it is, that is All right. Go ahead.
You have more props? Go ahead.
I hadn't given any yet. I'm going to throw out a quick props to all our patrons on Patreon, trying to focus on that more in 2018 and do more, be more interactive with it, and shake up the rewards so they are interesting but don't require me to keep a timer and remember to mail things out to people at appropriate times. So we've made a couple tweaks already, and more will be coming. So there's a Patreon or a patron-specific Facebook group that we're starting to have a little activity in. Just added another new reward where if you're a supporter, you're going to have the opportunity to record quotes to open the show if you would like. And I've got a few other ideas up my sleeve that I'm going to start rolling out as well, so be on the lookout. I think it could be good stuff.
That sounds like good stuff. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Thank you for supporting us. We greatly appreciate it.
All right. I want to prop MoviePass.
Good call.
It's $9.99 a month for like movies and stuff, and I like movies and stuff. So I'm propping it.
Yeah, I've been considering trying it out. Have you actually used it yet? You mentioned getting the cards in recently.
We just got our cards in in today.
So you haven't gone to actually use them somewhere yet.
Correct.
I have a couple video game props from the, I don't even remember the last time I was on, we did a props and slops a serious one that we weren't just giving Luke a hard time. So I want to prop the last episode and the overall thing of Life is Strange, okay,
Before the Storm, which I think I mentioned earlier, when it was first released, but it's now done. And I enjoyed the third episode. It was not as spectacular and endearing as the second episode, but the third one was really touching and really had some great character moments and sort of, I think, did a good job of really developing its two core characters. And I think if you're looking for an adventure game that's a very story and character-driven experience, you should definitely check out the Life is Strange series. Unlike Patrick, former White Book co-host Patrick Haynes, play Life is Strange before you play the prequel is not really kind of thing that you can really fully appreciate everything if you haven't played the original. But it's a fine standalone experience, but it really adds depth when you know Chloe and you know Rachel from Life is Strange and sort of the Max relationship that's sort of ever present but not present in the prequel series. Without that development in Life is Strange, it doesn't quite pay off as much as what you get when you do the whole thing. So that is a really fun game, very great experience, and you should definitely pick it up.
Pick it up. Do what Roy says.
And then much quicker, Divine Divinity, Original Sin 2, really fun, great story-driven RPG with challenging combat if you want it. If you don't, it has a very satisfying story experience. So
awesome.
Play that too.
I think I've got a video game prop as well. I finally got around to playing the third episode of season 2 of the Telltale Batman. And enjoyed it. I don't know. It maybe wasn't as strong as some of the other Telltale entries have been so far, but I still had fun.
I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was better than the second one, I think. Yeah, right? Because the second one...
Yeah.
It's better than the second.
To talk about without throwing spoilers out there.
Yeah. But, yeah. I'm not a fan of their interpretation of Harley Quinn. I think I've said that also on this show in times I've been on. And there's lots of her in the third one. So I'm
intrigued by this this interpretation. I'm still trying to find my footing with this interpretation of the Joker. I think that's maybe what's messing with me more. So,
Well, apparently in the new episode that is coming out by the week that this airs, we'll be getting a lot more development of that character.
It
is what the trailers are telling us. So
felt
we can
like
report
it had to
back
be coming soon.
Next,
there's
time.
Been a little more and a little more and a little more each time. So. Yeah, I'll stop there before throwing everything out there in the listeners' faces if they're going to play those games. Aaron, do you have anything else?
No, I think that's all I got.
Right on. Roy, anything else?
I will announce on the White Book and an official event should be going up, but the Storming of Starpike is on March the 10th, 2018. Which was the tournament that I organized here in Philadelphia last year. It was in May last year. This year, it is the second stop of the Northeast Championship Tour. The first stop, which is February 3rd in Boston, is what you should go to first. But you should also pencil in your date of March 10th here in Philadelphia for that tournament, which I'm really excited. I have some really awesome announcements coming up about that.
Awesome.
And it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, I think just my final one is going to be a quick prop/advertisement for AGOT, AGOT.cards. Still trying to keep pulling in all the events and content and things that we can. So I wanted to give a props to all the visitors and folks that have been starting to help out posting there and submitting events and things. There's looks like 1,472 events in the system right now, so almost 1,500. Now, some of that is recurring game nights over the course of the next year. But I think it's pretty good. We're building a list of store championships and things, and I know we're going to have another pile of some stuff in the Northeast that have been compiled. So come check it out. If you know of events in your area, submit them or shoot me a message on Facebook or something and link me to the Facebook event, and I will pull it in from there.
You guys should do what he said. He's the best.
Will is great.
Nothing's going to ever keep him down. Wait, what? I don't know what that was. But
Aaron singing means that we are firmly in the danger zone.
And stay frosty with the withering cold.
Ooh, I like it.
Wow. Someone just set up a duped wall against my Stark Winter. And hey, guess what? Stark Winter runs.
Yeah.
Have a nice day. Stark Winter runs.
Whoa.
I thought it too.
Williams, the
greatest sound ever.
I have to then have a second count in of my own after the computer does it? Okay.
You got it.
Three, two, one.